Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Primetime with Isaac Insu.
Can build cities. Can transform the world. And rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No, 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 no!
I have to steal it.
Are you talking about Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac Insu.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac Insu on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Stockwatch next in the news. Sooks in Iceland. It's Mike and Ike. Reading some texts here, 250-1080. We're asking you if you prefer the classic model of college football or where it's headed, a more modern, realigned version of college football. Someone here says, make new rivals. I'll take Ohio State or Michigan, Penn State playing in Autzen every other year. If they go Big Ten, I'm all for it. Another one says, classic football, please. I'm so tired of everyone chasing the dollar and ruining my favorite thing in life. Beavs are going to get left behind. Give me a rival.
I'm going to go ahead and assume that most of the texts that are saying modern are Oregon fans. And most of the texts saying classic are Oregon State fans.
You'd think.
Yeah.
You'd think. I'm done with college football if somehow the Big Ten takes Oregon. I really mean that. And it's literally my favorite thing. See, I wonder if that guy's an Oregon fan.
Oh, maybe. I mean, I think it's like for me with baseball. Like, I understand that baseball needs to be modernized in certain ways, but boy, did I hate almost all the rule changes they made during COVID that are in the game right now. And I grew up watching baseball. I want baseball to stay almost exactly the same because I love it the way it is. So I get that fan for sure. For me, for college football, I think modern college football is great, but that's because I didn't grow up watching the sport. So it's, you know, if it's something you grew up with and you've got so many memories tied to it and, you know, maybe it's your whole family and generations of your family have been Oregon or Oregon State fans and you're a season ticket holder and you've got all, you know, you don't want this to change because everything in your life has been tied to that. So much nostalgia.
Somebody else says, I do love the classic rivalries, but what has really sickened me about the change is the outright greed, which is grotesque. That said, with the NIL, perhaps there is a chance for college football to emerge with a better product for players and fans, not just feeding the old guard crust, which I despise. Yeah, to me, the problem is the system. And we can't get into this now. We'll do it later, or maybe tomorrow or Wednesday. But if I just feel like college football has to change its financial structure. Because as I said, these conferences are all working against one another. And for the most money, and in turn, hopefully a better product, they all have to be working together. And they don't. They're stealing each other's teams. Some are making more money than others. Look, NFL owners want what's best for them, of course, but there's also an overarching league above them that they're a part of. And all the teams are a part of it, and all the decisions are made with that in mind. That's what college football needs, separate of other sports. I'm talking about just football, separate of other sports. And they still fund other sports, and the other sports stay under the NCAA umbrella, and that's all stays classic. But right now in college football, you have that dynamic, sort of like the NFL, but you have it with five different leagues. There are five different conferences. There's no way that's good. And think about this, too. Add this to it. The leadership of the Big 12, this is how insane this is. The leadership of the Big 12 that is sitting around looking at each other right now going, God, what the heck are we going to do? Are the same people who may be looking to leave the Big 12 because the schools run the leagues. So if I'm Kansas and I'm talking to the Big 10, I am also Kansas of the Big 12. No way that's good. So they need a group of leaders that are not only looking out for the schools just in the South, but also looking out for, you know, Oregon State. At the same time, they need a group of leaders that are not only looking out for themselves, but for the league of teams, not just their region. That's why it's just clear as day that this is all shifting towards something much bigger and something more similar to professional sports. And if that happens, it's going to be great. This is why I'm excited about it, because it's going to mean that more schools can compete. Right now, there is more competitive imbalance in college football than any other sport. It's not even close. If they can fix that, I think fans are coming back in droves, because we'll always still have our connection to the schools and we went there, and the mascots and the pageantry. It's always going to be there. But if it's structured in a way that helps everyone, it's going to be infinitely better, more interest nationally as opposed to regionally. And if they rectify that, you got something.
I think there will be growing pains. There always is with change. But I almost 100% agree with what you just said. One texter brought this up, and it's something I've often thought in college football, is, you know, the SEC is the best, and the SEC thinks they're the best, and they should. But people from other parts of the country, unless you're a diehard college football fan, could care less about watching like Auburn LSU on a random Saturday, right? Because they don't have any connection to those schools. What this will do for college football over time is make those teams nationally relevant. It's like, it would be similar to the NFL, just at a lower quality, because, you know, I'm a Broncos fan, but I will watch any NFL game that's on TV. I don't care what team is playing. I'll watch Red Zone because I want to see how all the teams do, because I love the sport. Over time in college football, if this new model turns out to be the way that we're kind of discussing, eventually you will care about watching Auburn versus LSU, because that's the top division of college football, and it's going to mean something for the sport as a whole. But also, like we're talking about, if say they have like different tiered divisions, end of the season, you're going to care about Kansas State versus Iowa State, because one of those teams is going to, you know, finish in first place in that division, and maybe there's a benefit to that. You know, maybe it's going to take 30 years, but over to maybe even less than that, you're going to care about these teams. And I think that's the end goal, is national caring about all of these schools.
Yeah, making it all matter, because you know that it's not about Oregon State not being able to compete because they don't make enough money. It's about Oregon State not being able to compete because their head cheese made the wrong moves and one school's head cheese made better moves, right?
Yep.
I mean, I just feel like college football,
it's making it a professional sport.
That's right. It's going to be more of a professional model. I know that scares some
with recruiting and amateurism.
But it's best for the sport. It's best for you and I. It's best for everyone. I still think, to your point, though, most people only watch the best teams from each conference. Like, I think most fans in college football still watch their school, and then they watch the major games, the important games with the best teams. How many times has the average guy watched Arkansas play football, unless Arkansas is the new Alabama, right? We've watched Alabama a lot because they're relevant. There's only so many relevant teams in college football. So to your point, buoying the system financially so that everybody can be relevant at any given time, much like the NFL, is better for everyone. All right, so we'll be back. When we get back, we'll have our stock watch. We'll do in the news. We'll talk more about this in our final hour as well. Stockwatch is next, 418 on The Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Primetime Stock Watch. What's all the hype? Are Isaac and Sue buying it or calling BS and unloading it fast?
Sounds to me like you guys are a couple of bookies.
Is the hype accurate or a bunch of hot gas? Before you buy or sell, listen close.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts aren't too tight in the seat.
Primetime Stock Watch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
How about this, Mike? Why doesn't everyone just join the SEC? How about that? SEC is just now the governing body of college football. They're all in it. Would 64 you, teams.
Is that who you would trust the most to run the sport?
Well, don't you think that the head of the snake in college football should be in the South?
Probably. I mean, I'm more just asking, which conference do you think does it the best?
Oh, I don't know. I somebody just texted me or tweeted at me of somebody made a model of four super leagues, and maybe you could condense it into four super leagues and then have a new governing body that has, I don't know,
the NCAA.
Yeah, exactly. The NCAA. I don't know. Man, we're not going to solve this in a day. I did see though a text from, damn it, a tweet from Dan Wetzel. He said, hearing little to no interest in expansion from Big Ten sources, no need to make a move. There is talk of a scheduling agreement with the Pac-12, rotation of non-conference games. No, Ohio State and Michigan aren't leaving. I guess that's out there too, that Ohio State and Michigan are going to bounce because Texas and Oklahoma bounce from the
Look,
Big 12.
That sounds great and all, but in like 6 months, everything's going to be different anyway. Oh, the Big Ten's not looking at making any moves right now. Okay. We'll see what happens in a couple months.
I think their tendency is always to stay the course. Nobody panic, but I think it's going to be seismic shifting going on.
I agree with you. If I was any of these conferences,
make
stay
a big
the
move.
Course, no.
No.
Be the one to make the first smart move.
That's right. Yes. That's right. It's a game. It's a powerful game, and it's a sinister game. Don't get left behind. Okay, let's roll.
If you're in this business now, you're going to have to start thinking bigger. Greg Sankey and the SEC are certainly doing that. If I were commissioner of the ACC, one thing I'd be thinking about is approaching the SEC and saying, look at all the natural rivalries we have interconference. Why don't we start thinking about a merger? Because that's what the SEC is going to become. It's going to become the NFL, a junior NFL and junior NBA. And there's no reason why the ACC shouldn't jump in there and take advantage of those natural rivalries and markets. And if I were Jim Phillips, I'd be ringing Greg Sankey's phone saying, how about a merger?
There's Jay Billis talking about what we had just talked about with the Pac-12 and the Big Ten potentially merging. How about the ACC and the SEC potentially merging, considering their closeness geographically with a lot of their teams sharing states, or at least in bordering states in a lot of cases. Buy or sell, the Big Ten Pac-12 merger league would be better than the SEC-ACC merger league.
Whoa.
Think
better
big.
Than. Oh, man. Oh, man. I don't know. Well,
in
okay.
football, I mean.
So football, you're going to get the SEC with Texas, Oklahoma, and Clemson. And then a bunch of other crap from the ACC. But over here, you would have a little bit more balanced league with the Oregons and USC's mixed in with the Ohio States.
Michigan, Wisconsin, Penn State.
I think it's the SEC and the ACC.
Okay.
Yeah. Because
you are right. It would be very top heavy where the bottom of that combo league would be dreadful.
Yeah, but the SEC, I mean, I've always said, he said it in there too, Billis. I've always said this, that there's the NFL and then there's the SEC and then there's college football. And that just got worse with Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC. It's not good for the sport. So, you know, the SEC is just head and shoulders better. And even if they combined the way you're talking, I still think the SEC trumps.
This is an interesting conversation point we haven't thought about yet.
They're not happy about it. You know, Damian Lillard, I think, was sober about it and basically said, when you come play for Team USA, you don't expect something like this to happen. You don't expect to play this way. You don't expect guys who are NBA stars to miss shots and not execute like this. I don't care who you're playing. Greg Popovich took a different tact, crediting the opponent, which is fine. But even in a game where Kevin Durant has foul trouble, Kevin Durant goes to the bench and you come back with Jason Tatum, an all-NBA player. So obviously the French played well in this game, but the Americans did not execute, did not get it done. And quite frankly, they were just flat-out outplayed. It was not because they were tired. It was not because the French have some sort of special magic. It was because they got out-executed. And that is not something we're used to seeing from the national team that is unfortunately becoming more regular over the last couple of years.
There's Brian Windhorst talking about Team USA's loss to France yesterday in their first official game at the Olympics. Buy or sell, Team USA will get a bronze medal or worse.
They're still the favorite in Vegas.
It's been shrinking every single week.
Yes, it has.
What did I say? They're minus 250 now?
I feel like you don't have a lot of faith in them.
Nope.
I
do not. The team has like one big, and it's JaVale McGee.
No, they have Bam.
Well, sure, but he's... You know, they have one, like, big that could go up against the seven-footers, and it's JaVale McGee.
I don't know, man. I have faith. I sell that. I have faith. They're going to do it.
They're going to do what?
They're going to do it, baby. They're going to win the gold medal.
All of it.
At the Tokyo Games.
All
of the medals. They will win them all. I just feel like right now, look, okay, a little national pride's going to come out here. Look. If everyone committed to Team USA, we'd have a team of Curry, Kawhi, Durant, LeBron. Lillard, LeBron, Tatum, Harden. I mean, come on. Dude, they'd be mopping the floor with these fools. Now.
But that's not who's on the team.
That is not who's on the team. But I don't think this is like back in, I don't remember what year it was. Maybe in 2004. Where they couldn't get anyone to play, or it was that weird time in between college and back to pro, and it was just the team sucked, and then they didn't win a gold. They just didn't put that many good players. I still believe that with Lillard and Durant and Tatum and
Tatum
Bam,
didn't even start, by the way.
Well, that's a good thing, right? That means it's a pretty damn good starting five. Am I wrong, Bill?
They started like three guards.
Well, yeah, they're definitely they did
probably
that.
Put Tatum out there,
they did that strategically. They are smaller, and they can shoot the lights out. And I believe they have a good enough team. They will win the gold. Their problem right now is they've only had like six practices before Tokyo. As Windhorst said, you know, there's not a lot of excuses in that game. I didn't see the game, but they certainly have cohesion issues. They've always had this. The U.S. has always had this. And the team is small, but I feel like if they'll get their legs under them in Tokyo, practice a little bit more, play a little bit more together. They got the three guys from the finals who have now infiltrated the team, and I think they're going to win it because I trust that we have some excellent players that are better than anybody else on any other team on Team USA. Now, that may be my little USA-colored glasses, but I think they can overcome their issues, but they better do it fast. They'll get into the medal round, and at that point, I think they will have played enough. They will have enough cohesion that they can get it done.
I think it's the best that they could possibly do right now as far as getting what they need right now on the team side, while at the same time basically still holding the cards in their favor and going forward in 2022. For Aaron, hopefully after this 1 year, if again, things remain kind of the same in his mind as far as I still think it's best for me to move on based off of all the things that I've alluded to as far as the relationships not being what I want. I still think it's best for me to move on. I'm sure he's banking on the fact that they will honor that if that in fact still is the case come January or February of 2022.
There's Lewis Riddick talking about the Aaron Rodgers news today. We haven't spent too much time or actually any time on the show on it. So for those who missed it, he is likely agreeing to return to Green Bay and has made some concessions, but he's also getting some benefits for himself. His last year of his deal is now voided, and if he still wants to leave at the end of this season, Green Bay will trade him, although he will not get to choose where he goes, which is a concession he made to them. Buy or sell, after this season, Aaron Rodgers will still want to be traded.
Yes, and I also don't believe that he won't have a say in that.
Adam Schefter tweeted that was a concession he made, yeah, is he cannot choose where he goes.
Sure. But that, to me, is bullsh. And after this season, Aaron Rodgers will be traded because he wants out of there. And he will have a say in where he goes because he's Aaron Rodgers and he's holding them over a barrel. But this move here by the Packers was a smart move. Even though they've screwed everything up to get to this point, kind of like the Blazers with Lillard, but they at least worked it out where they get one more year of Rodgers. They have time to plan, and maybe there's a small chance that they're able to rectify things with him. Doubt it. I think he's out of there. Remember, he tweeted today, he and Davante Adams tweeted the
last dance picture.
The last dance photo, which is Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. Some people reading into that this is it for them in Green Bay, and I think that's probably the case, but at least Green Bay got him back for this season. But no, I think he will be dealt, and I think he will have a big say in where he goes, even though they're saying right now that he does not. Is that our stock watch?
There's one more.
Sweet.
Two outs, Taylor at first, Wong at the plate. Runner goes. Here's a pitch, is cut on, lifted to center. This ought to do it. Hamilton has it, and that's the ball game. Liam Hendricks closes it out, and it is a six-out save for the right-hander.
That is John Shambi on the call, ESPN Radio, of Sunday Night Baseball last night when the White Sox got a win over the Brew Crew. Buy or sell, you buy the White Sox.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, they're legit. I don't see a weakness.
You don't see a weakness?
No. Where's their weakness? They're awesome. Their pitching is great. They have a good bullpen.
Lance Lynn is who?
Lance Lynn
is amazing.
Unbelievable. They still have Giolito. Rodon is.
Rodon's unbelievable.
Cy Young candidate. That's right. What's not to love? They got Jimenez back today. Loaded. Absolutely loaded.
There you go.
So why would I not buy the White Sox?
I don't know. Maybe it's, you just think maybe they're a little fluky or something, you know.
The only thing holding them back is old-ass Tony La Russa. But I don't necessarily buy the... I don't want to buy the Brewers, because you played that clip from last night, Brewers-White Sox.
Brewers are in first.
I know. They're good. I don't understand how they're good.
Well, they got two elite starters at the top.
Three.
I suppose, yes, if you include Peralta. But I was going to say Woodruff and Burns. Their bullpen's got some good arms at the back end, although Devin Williams is hurt. It's weird team. Christian Yelich isn't even playing that well this year.
Yeah, it's weird. But I think the White Sox, they have what it takes. All right, there's your Stock Watch. It is brought to you each Monday by Goldberg Jones. When it comes to divorce, custody, and child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. 1-800-DIVORCE. Phone questions answered at no charge. In the news is coming up next. We return to masks. Here's Mike.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
We are missing our lovable Big Zook. He is out in Iceland. Of all places, he is in Iceland, guys.
The kids may vote for the penis.
So you have Mike and Ike today. But another Sukanik, John Sukanik, will be in here for the show tomorrow, which I'm excited about because it is not only Pac-12 Media Day, but we can talk Cougs and some baseball. I was reading today that the Mariners are hot after my Whit Merrifield of the Royals. I'm not happy about this development.
Mariners have become buyers after taking three or four from the A's, I guess.
Yeah. So exciting times.
John
tomorrow. Right now, July 26, 2021, it is time for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Today is Aunt and Uncle's Day. So that's me. So happy Aunts and Uncle's Day to me. You are not an aunt. That we know.
Correct.
You are also not an uncle.
Also correct. I was for a short period of time and not anymore.
Wait, what?
My ex-wife had a...
Oh.
Her sister had a kid.
I thought somebody died.
No.
It is also World Tofu Day. Do you like tofu, Mike?
No, I hate it.
You're a big food guy? You're a foodie, as they say?
I am. Tofu just takes on the flavor of the other stuff that's in it, but I hate the consistency of it.
Okay. Did you see what Justin Thomas just tweeted? I love this.
No.
Golfer. Yeah, you probably didn't. You don't follow Justin Thomas on there?
No. Also, if he just tweeted it, I'm not looking at Twitter at this very second.
Went into the Olympic Village for a nice workout last night. Safe to say there weren't many athletes fighting me for the 20-pound dumbbells. Multnomah County will now recommend indoor maskuses for all. How do you feel about that? Yeah.
I mean, it's not a mandate, which is, I guess, good. But
yeah, but are you going to... Okay, that's the question. What are you going to do now? You're a vaccinated bro?
I'm so tired of it, man. I don't want to wear them anymore.
Fatigue. I'm with you.
If a place is requiring it, absolutely.
However.
I'm just tired.
Yeah, so they recommend all people wear masks indoors as COVID cases surge. Although, I got to call out, you know I hate fake news headlines, right? You know,
yes.
Drives me crazy. I do think they're trying to, like, for example, KPTV had this one today on their website. And it said, the headline was 993 new cases of COVID. Well, back when COVID was really popping here, that was really high, right? I don't think we ever got over...
We had over 1,000 a couple times.
We did, but I don't think we ever got over like 1,200 to 1,500 cases per day.
No.
So 993 was like, whoa, especially compared to what it has been recently, which is like a couple hundred, 300 a day. Well... They neglect to tell you that that's over 3 days. That's over the last 3 days.
My God.
So it's like...
So 300
they
cases
had that
a day.
In the, well, yes, but they had that in the headline, but it's like they want you to see the 993 go, and then, you know, I don't know, COVID panic. It's just, it drives me crazy.
And then the other
so
thing...
So the cases are not that high, but the Delta variant is making the rounds.
Is now in Oregon. I mean, yeah. It was a couple weeks ago you said that it actually had not hit Oregon quite yet. It's here. It is now here. In the article I read about this, it said that 90% of the positive cases are unvaccinated people.
100%. Oh, wait, 90%.
90%.
Yeah. 100% of your 90% stat. 100% on your 90% stat. 100. Hundo P. There we go. Studies show universal masking reduces the risk of infection by at least 70%.
Although I think it's funny you're coughing as we talk about this segment.
The cough has been canceled.
Can't do it anymore.
You can no longer cough, or everyone thinks you got the Rona. So, Multnomah County recommending indoor masks. Now, I would be a hypocrite. I tend to think like you, Mike, in terms of I'm just tired of it. I'm vaccinated. F you. But I'm not going to be that way. And I don't often venture into many stores anyway. But if I do, I'm going to wear a mask because I would be a hypocrite if I didn't because, you know, I'm a part of a community and I have a duty. As part of that community. And it's not that hard. It's just a mask. So I'm going to do it. Begrudgingly. As I cough with my COVID. I got something in my throat.
Clearly.
But...
Take some time. Get it out.
I'm going to do it. Because, you know, you say, hey... I mean, sometimes it's frustrating when people don't get vaccinated. You're like, hey, we're all in this together. You're part of a community. Let's get that vax, huh? What do you say, babe? But I get it's their choice. But, you know, on the mask thing, if they're asking me, hey, we kind of need to do this now again, I don't like it, but I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Or I won't go into store or a bar. Although, wait, bar. Did you know that most bars in San Francisco are requiring proof of vaccination now?
Really?
Did you read that?
I did not read that.
Yeah, that's a thing down in San Francisco. the Bay. You may have been to the Bay Area, as they call it. Yeah, they're requiring proof of vax, which I'm okay with that, too.
I got no my card with me at all times.
Yeah,
so,
let's go.
If you want proof, here you go.
Let's go. A decomposing body was found in the Clackamas River. So that's nice.
So we've got that going for us.
They've yet to identify the person. But, you know, I don't know about you, but I kind of feel like the drowning stories. No one knows what happened to this person yet, but the drowning stories have decreased this year, don't you think, so far this summer? Usually we get one of those stories every other day.
I guess that's true. I didn't really think about that. Yeah, I guess so. I guess they've decreased. Or they're just not reporting it because other things are more reportable.
A mini heat wave is coming later this week. They are saying upper 90s.
Yeah, I saw like a high of 96, 97 in Wednesday, Thursday range. Another heat dome is over the country.
Now, I think it's funny that they now call that a mini heat wave. So we had 3 days of 115 degrees, and now 96 is mini. I mean, it used to be.
That would be a heat wave.
Yeah, that was, they got that hot, and it would get over 100 degrees. But now we're calling close to 100 degrees mini.
Well, I think it's mini because it's like 2 days, right?
Yeah.
In length.
What am I going to do about my plants while I'm in Kansas where it's going to be 105 and humid?
God. They're probably going to die, Isaac.
I hope not. Okay.
You can hire someone to come water them for you.
Well, we have a house. We have a dog watcher, house watcher.
Oh, well, then just ask them for a couple extra bucks.
What? I'm not paying them.
Well, then why would they water your plants? Oh, is it just a friend watching the dog?
Because plants are living things. And they would feel bad.
Are you becoming plant guy?
I'm plant guy. A big time plant guy.
Really?
Yeah. I was telling this kid, so I was playing in this golf tournament, and this kid's 14.
You haven't really talked about this on the show.
What?
That you're a plant guy.
I have. I've said I am an under the radar green thumb. I am. I love it. I love it. I love going out there and keeping them alive, and I love how they look, and I love learning. I don't know everything. I'm learning. We just planted a bunch of new stuff. Cool. I'm cool. Put on my little bucket hat.
Let's check off something else on Rob's getting old checklist.
So I was playing, and my wife does the back portion, and I do the front portion. It's great. And then we come inside, hold hands, drink coffee together.
And talk about your plans?
No, we say nothing. What was I telling you? Oh, I was playing golf. In this tournament, this kid's 14, and he was kicking everyone's ass, but he was a nice kid. We were having a good conversation, and I said, what are you doing after this? Like, what happens? You know, are you going to party or something? I was just kind of joking around. After all, he's 14. And he said, well, we're driving to another golf tournament. I'm like, Jesus, where are you going now? He's going up to Washington. I said, you know what an old man like me does after a golf tournament like this? I go ice my back, pour a glass of wine, and water my plants. He got a kick out of that.
And then what do you watch on TV? More golf.
I didn't get to see any of the golf.
But just that's what you would normally do.
Yeah. But he watches golf too.
Mm-hmm.
But he got a kick out of that. I'm like, well, you're playing with a 46-year-old man, young man. It's what you do.
He's like, 46? By that, I thought you were 62.
All right. Up next, the top states for Airbnb hosts. This is in the news on The Fan.
Blazers. Lamia.
Prime time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is in the news for July 26th. I've got a couple texts here. Someone is not happy that we do not pay our house sitter while we are away. They said, are you not paying the dog watcher? Also, if you are, isn't the dog a living thing? How is paying someone to watch your dog different than paying someone to water your plants? Well, we don't pay her. She's an ex-coworker of my wife and a friend. And she just likes to come hang at the house, and she likes the dog. So, I don't know. Maybe my wife pays her. I don't know. So I don't handle that business. Somebody else said there should be an Airbnb for plants and artwork. So rich folks can trade or rent their art and plants with other folks. Lots of rich folks change up their looks, their home look, every 6 months or a year. You know, that's a great idea.
It's like Rent-A-Swag from Parks and Rec when Aziz Ansari's character rents his nice clothes out to the kids in the town.
You know, he's on to something, though, because I often think about, on the plant tip, I mean, we don't do much art, but And by the way, I'm offended by the idea that only rich people have plants. Come on. Plants are great. Everyone has plants, or should. But I often like to think about switching them out. Like sometimes I'm like, you know what? I don't really like that plant. I'm going to switch it out. There ought to be a plant exchange. Maybe that's our million-dollar idea, Mike. You think it's a million-dollar idea?
It might be. I mean, if it's non-existent and people actually want to do that, it could be a great idea.
Well, there are a lot of plants on OfferUp, but usually people want money for them. He's, you know, the trading thing is, that's good.
If it's a million-dollar idea, then how do you make money as a business?
I'm not going to do anything with it, but, you know, seems like there is a hole in the market for trant plating and
Trant plating.
I'm struggling. Plant trading and or art trading. I don't know about the art thing, but I think that's true. Like,
or you tart rating.
You got a piece of art in your living room and you're like, I'm tired of looking at that. I wonder if somebody else is tired of looking at theirs, and then just swap them, you know? Not a bad idea.
Would there be rules to, like, you have to swap things of close to equal value?
Maybe. Maybe. Maybe, Mike. I just lie. Yeah, I bought that at the Louvre. They sell art at the Louvre? What else do I have for you? Oh, the top states for Airbnb hosts. I saw this list. Now, of course, if you stay in Airbnbs, you know that...
I don't think I ever have before. Maybe once.
You never stayed in an Airbnb?
Maybe once or twice, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, they have hosts and super hosts, you know. So, like, if you sign up or if you rent an Airbnb that has a super host, that person is to go above and beyond for you. They're like a concierge, as it were. We had a super host in London who was a nightmare. He had the coolest place. I mean, I still remember this flat that we stayed in. It was super cool. But my God, was he anal. And constantly checking on us. And it was less about, hey, what do you need? More about, hey, what are you doing to my condo? It's like, leave me alone, dude. So it can go both ways. But Airbnb has released data showing the states with the highest number of top-ranking hospitable hosts nationwide. And some standout cities. They found 310 hosts in the country who have received 100% five-star ratings with a minimum of 100 reviews.
Wow.
Yes.
This culture of giving people one-star reviews for one thing you didn't like, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Or just because, like, you disagree with them about something, one-star review.
So the states with the most hospitable Airbnb hosts are, number 5, Oregon.
Oh, nice.
How about that?
I'm going to imagine it's mostly states that are in quote-unquote nicer regions in the country.
Perhaps. Portland leads the pack as the top city in the U.S. for number of top Airbnb hosts. We have 7 top Airbnb hosts.
Very cool. I feel like Airbnb really took off in the city before it did in a lot of other places, too. I feel like I remember hearing about it here before a lot of people were talking about it.
Number 4, Tennessee.
Never been.
Yep. Number 3, Texas. 29 top hosts.
Wow. Probably a lot more hosts, too. Very large state.
The Chicken Coop Tiny Cottage in Austin, offered by hosts Jay and Jane, made the top 50 for Airbnb reviews.
Chicken Coop Tiny Cottage?
160 square foot little homes, tranquil and private courtyard / flowers provide an excellent place to chill after a long day of pecking around Austin.
Oh my God.
Oh my God is right.
Number 2. I don't want to stay in a tiny home.
California. Number of top hosts, 35. Glenn and Susan's guest studio minutes from Mendocino has maintained his 100% five-star review since 2012, longer than anyone in the United States. How about that? Traveling as guests gave us an understanding through firsthand experience, the pair said in a statement explaining their success, some of the things that guests need are intangible. We make sure that our guests know that we're warm and approachable if they have any requests or issues. And number 1 is North Carolina. Number of top hosts, 35. North Carolina tips the scale on the list because the state's top host is also the best rated host in the nation. Her name is Jessica. She owns the Lucky W Cottage in Asheville. And she has received 100% five-star ratings in her 530 reviews.
That's insane.
sacks the most of anyone in the United States. That is insane. How do you do that?
I don't know. I have no idea. Absolutely
not. Not one person had a bad. Well, I mean, maybe they had bad, something bad to say, but overall, 5 stars, 530 times.
I don't know.
Jessica, let's go.
I think the reason I don't do Airbnb is I find it uncomfortable to say it's someone else's home. I think that's my problem with it.
Really?
Yeah.
But you take Ubers and stuff?
I will occasionally take a Lyft, but I prefer to drive myself too. I get the model. I think it's really smart. But for me, I just that's your space. I don't want to be in your space.
Are you a germaphobe?
No. It's just it's this mental leap I have yet to take.
Yeah, you'll get over that fast.
I stayed in an Airbnb when I went to Victoria, actually. And I remember like the people who owned the home stayed in the basement when we were there. And I was like, that doesn't make me comfortable.
That's a little odd.
You know, it was a nice home, but I'm sure their basement was furnished. But I remember, like, we turned the thermostat down a little bit, and they came up and yelled at us because it turned the thermostat downstairs down.
Oh dear!
But they kept the house at like 78, and I was like,
well, you're the guest. Get it however you want it.
It was
4 stars.
I was very uncomfortable, and I just the idea of like I remember when my friends came to visit there, we were talking about getting an Airbnb. Because it was, if it was going to be warm, I don't have air conditioning in my apartment. Luckily, it was not warm and it was comfortable in there. But, they were sending me some stuff. And I was looking at this like, I don't want to stay in this person's house.
Well, a lot of them are depersonalized, right? Like they're rentals, basically. I mean, some people, I don't know. I'd like to know the percentage of the people that live in the place and Airbnb it when they're not there versus people that they're just rentals.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they are. They're short-term rentals. And they're depersonalized. They're usually very clean. And when you have a super host, they take care of everything for you. It's really a nice thing. Although somebody here texted us and said, my wife and I have been super hosts before. And all it takes is one grumpy person's review and you get that taken away. He said, hopefully we'll get it back in October. Wow.
Wow.
Man. Well, shout out to Jessica out there in Asheville, North Carolina. All right, we got to go. The Hot 5 at 5 is next. Plenty of news today. Is Aaron Rodgers coming back? And an NBA trade. It's trade season. 5:05 on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.